Psalm 86, we're going to start reading in verse number 1. Psalm 86. All right, the Bible says there, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God. Save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these guys being here. Lord, they're in the best place they can be in your house, Lord. I pray that, God, you would please help our time to be effective, and, God, that it would make a difference, Lord. Please, I pray that you would do a miracle in all of our hearts and our lives, Lord. I pray you would help us to be closer to you, that we would love you more, and that we would be more like you, Lord. I pray you give me the right words and thoughts of spirit to get this across how you want me to, Lord. I pray you'd be pleased by this, Lord, how it's preached and how we receive it and what we do with it. And Lord, I just pray you would please, God, help us to hear your voice through the preaching today. Lord, we need your help. We can't do this without you, Lord. We desperately need you. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you for standing. Appreciate that. In those seats where you get stuck and you can't get out. I understand, man. It's an adjustment. But Tim will throw them out this week, I'm pretty sure. But it's all good. Guys, this chapter opens with a desperate prayer by David. He is crying out to God. I want you to look at verses 1 through 4 with me, and we'll kind of explain them a little bit, and then we'll get to the point of the message today. So David is desperately praying to God, asking God to help him. He says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy." What is that saying, guys? What do you think that's saying? He's saying, "Bow down your ear, God, and then I'm poor and needy."
I guess,
Yeah, I think he's just saying, like, God, I really need you to listen, right? I really, really need you to hear this. And we know God hears our prayers, right? But he's saying, God, I really need you to tune in here. How about when he says, I'm poor and needy? Now, David was a king. He's not, like, suffering out on the street. But what do you think he means?
He needs help and he's, unhealthy or something like that.
Okay, not bad. George?
Wisdom.
He needs wisdom, okay. Guys, when he's saying he's needy, he's saying, obviously, God, I have a lack in my life. There's a hole in my life that I need you to come through for me. But guys, then he says he's poor. When you have poor, you don't have money to fill that need, right? He says, not only do I have a bad need in my life, I really, really need this, but I don't have a reserve account that I can go to. I don't have any friend that I can call on to take care of this problem. God, I got nothing. Not only am I empty, I got no possible resources to help me out here. Verse number 2, preserve my soul. So he's saying, God, keep me living. I think is what he's saying. For I am holy. Now we think, whoa, that's kind of a weird statement. I am holy. You're like, no, you're not. I think what he's saying, not that he's perfect or not that he's never messed up, guys, but I think he's saying, I'm trying, God. I'm trying. I'm trying to do right. I'm committed to you. Guys, you know what that's talking about? Confessing your sins. Everybody in the room is going to mess up this week. Not happy about it. We're not saying, yeah, go ahead and do what you want. We're not saying that. But everybody's going to mess up. Even if you're trying your best to live for God this week, you're going to mess up at some point this week. But you know what? You need to confess your sins. That's not the end of the line. It's not that you say, oh, I had a great 2 days. Then I sinned. Oh, guess I have to quit for this week. No. You got to get back on track. You got to confess your sins. Listen, tell God what you did. I'll talk about this later. But tell God what you did specifically. By the way, guys, if you sinned on purpose, don't tell God it was an accident. Some of us, we sin straight up on purpose. And then we're like, God, it was just so hard in that moment. I didn't know what to do. And my friends pushed me into it. No, they didn't. You chose to do it yourself. Stop lying. Take responsibility. All right? Don't be like Adam and Eve and say, it was the woman. It was the snake. The snake's like, I got nobody to point to. Right? Ran out of people. Listen, don't blame it on somebody else if it's your fault. He says, God, I'm holy, I'm committed, I'm confessing my sins, and I'm trying my best to live for you. Guys, try your best to live for God. I know that's a very simple statement, but try your best to live for God. Are you going to read your Bible this week? You going to pray? You going to try to give out tracts to your friends and invite them to church? There's some back there for you. Listen, try, try, try. Listen, God will help you. But many of us don't try and say, man, this Christian life's not working for me. Because you're not trying. It's because you're not trying. Listen, you're not going to be good at any sport unless you try. You're not going to be good at school unless you try. So many guys are not trying, but yet they say, man, I don't know what the problem is. You got to kick it in gear and say, I got to do something with this. So he says, I'm poor and needy. God, I need you to bow down and hear me. And then he says, God, preserve my soul, for I'm holy. I'm confessing my sins. I'm trying. And then, guys, check out verse number 3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. We want to talk about he's continually on this. He didn't say, God, I prayed this one time and I quit. He said, no, I'm crying out to you daily. But guys, if you really want something for God, you're going to talk to him about it every day. David says, God, I'm crying out to you every day. Verse number 4, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. When he's saying, rejoice the soul of thy servant, he's saying, God, bring back that joy, that happiness back into my life. I'm struggling. And guys, we may think, God, so what is David going through here? He's saying, God, I need your help. I need you to intervene. I need you to come through for me. But what is he facing? Real quick, check out verse number 14. Same chapter. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. What is he saying? They're after me. These people are after him, trying to destroy him, trying to take him down. Also, check out verse number 17. The second part of the verse, he says, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. So guys, very clearly from this passage, there's some people that hate him, that want to take him down, that want him destroyed, perhaps dead. He's saying, God, I need your help. So he's saying, God, I need you to help and to intervene. And guys, those first 4 verses, he's agonizing in prayer. He's struggling. He's striving, saying, God, I need you to help me. By the way, guys, listen. If you are struggling with something in your life this week, whether it's at school, your family, some situation you have going on in your life, maybe your family's ripping apart and you say, man, this is hard. This is difficult to deal with. Can I tell you right now, God cares about it, but you need to talk to him about it. If you want that strength, if you need that encouragement, if you want to keep going for God and living right, not quit, not fall off the path, not throw in the towel and do whatever the devil wants you to do, but keep living for God, you need to cry out to God, because none of us have the strength. None of us have the strength to live for God in and of ourselves. I was telling a guy Thursday, Brother Josh and I were doing a visit, and the guy was telling us, man, sometimes at school, you know, people, they push me and they're trying to provoke me and get me into a fight and all this kind of stuff. You know what we were telling him? First of all, don't do it. We were also saying, you need to pray to God to give you the strength not to do it. Because I was telling the guy, I said, listen, Brother Josh and me, you see us here in church, you see us preaching, you see us dressed up, and you think our lives are perfect and we never have any problems. Ha, 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 ha. That's not true. That's not how it works. Listen, there are times throughout the week where I get angry, I'm struggling with a temptation, I don't know what to do, and you know what I have to do? I can't just say, I'm a super Christian. Get out of here. I won't sin like that. No, I will sin like that if I keep it up to my own strength. You know what I have to do? God, help me. God, help me. I can't make it unless you help me. David's the king, but he ain't flashing his crown here, guys. He's not flashing his scepter. He's not saying, check out my royal robe. You can't touch me. No, he's saying, God, if you don't help me, I'm going down. He's desperate. How do your prayers sound to God? But in verse number 5, he gets an accurate perspective. He says, God, I know who you are. Guys, we also face many times in our lives when we desperately need God to help and to come through for us. Hey, can I remind you, if you want God to come through for you, make sure you're doing your part. We can't say, God, I need you to come through for me. Teach me the way of God. Show me the right path. You should go to church Sunday? Probably not. Where do you think he's going to show you the right path? It ain't at Giant or Safeway or Walmart or Five Below or Chipotle. He's going to show you the right way in church, in his word. That's where he's going to show you the right path to go. That's where he's going to teach you. But you need to make sure you're doing your part in confessing your sins and striving to be obedient to God. But today, guys, we need to make sure our perspective of our God is straight. Can I tell you, a lot of people have the wrong idea about God. They have wrong thoughts about God. And I'm not just talking about wacky religions and cults and religious gurus that are trying to get your money. If you believe God's touching your heart right now, send your credit card number to 1-800-GIVE-ME-YOUR-MONEY. That's 1-800-GIVE-ME-YOUR-MONEY. No, 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 no. They're liars. They're cheaters. They're stealers. They're trying to take something from you. Listen, that's not what God says. That's not anything of what God says. But can I tell you, a lot of people in church today around the country, they have the wrong idea about God. You know why? Because they're taking their preconceived notions and their misconceptions, and they're letting that rule their thinking instead of what the Bible says. Hey guys, I may have some crazy thoughts about God, but when I get into the Bible and it teaches me, no, that's not right, this is how God is, I need to say, oh, okay, well, forget my thoughts, I'm going to follow what God says. Because that's truly who He is. Our perspective of God must be straight. We need to know who He is. And I believe if we do, it'll powerfully affect our lives. Check out verse number 5, guys. I love this verse. And I think if you listen today, God will give you something from the Word of God. If you're hungry for it, He'll give you something from this verse. Please pay attention if you would. The Bible says, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." Guys, you may be weak in here today. You're doing right, but you don't know how much longer you can take it. Can I tell you, I think you'll get something for verse number 5. You may be sinful and doing some things that are wrong and doing some things that you know aren't right. And you've been doing it for a while and you really haven't cared about it, to be honest. Can I tell you, verse number 5 can help you with that. Listen, you may be struggling. You need an answer from God, direction, guidance, His assurance that this is the way to go. I think verse number 5 will help you with that. Here's what I want to preach about from verse number 5. There's a statement in there that talks about He's good. We're going to explain that. And then I love this next phrase. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. Hey guys, when you pray and say, "God, I messed up. God, I went the wrong path. God, I did the wrong thing." God's not up there saying, "No, whoa, whoa, buddy. I can't take your prayer today. You're going to have to call back tomorrow. Or you're going to have to call back next week. Or I'm not in the office right now. I'm on vacation." It doesn't work like that, guys. He is ready to forgive, and He is good all the time, and He's plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Here's the message today. Our God is open for business. Listen, if you mean business, our God is ready to hear from you and to change your life and to help you. Listen, God is not operating at reduced capacity. He's not shut down by the government. He's not restricted unless you restrict Him with your own sin. Isaiah 59 says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear." God hears when you pray, and God has a long enough arm to take care of your problems. But you know what it says? "But your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God, so that He will not hear, and his your sins have hid His face from you." Hey guys, you know what that's talking about? God's not restricted. God's not restricted, but if you're sinning in your life, God has chosen that He will not help a person like that. You've got to get rid of your sin if you want God to bless you and help you in your life. Guys, He's still powerful. He still saves. He still changes. He still helps. He still forgives. And today, our God is open for business. Point number one. We'll run through this as fast as possible. Point number one out of verse number 5, the pinpointed person. Guys, the first three words are what? Of verse number 5. Somebody tell me. What are the first three words? "For Thou, Lord." We talked about it last week. What does "Thou" mean?
You.
You singular. Only talking about one person, right? If it says "ye," Y-E, who is that talking about? A group of people. This is saying "for Thou, Lord," the pinpointed person. Guys, this is only referring to one person, and that's God. Nobody else. He says "for Thou, Lord." And by the way, that word "Lord," it's Adonai that we've been learning about from Pastor on Wednesday nights. That means absolute authority. He's the master. Listen, "for Thou, Lord." Guys, this is the pinpointed person. Listen, you need some help that only God can give you. God alone can give you. What's up, buddy? Grab a Bible back there if you would. The pinpointed person. Only God can help you. He alone can help you. Listen, that's specific. It's not talking about anybody else. It's solo, nobody else. And He's supreme. He's the only one. Check out verse number 10 of that chapter, Psalm 86. "For Thou art great and doest wonders. Thou art God alone." Guys, there's no counsel up there. He's not consulting with anybody else. There's no other gods He needs to talk to and to have a conference call with. He's God all by Himself. And that's what He's saying here. Listen, guys, there's some times in your life nobody else can help you. The doctor can't help you. The parent may not be able to help you. The adult may not be able to help you. The guidance counselor can't counsel and guide you in that moment. But we have a God that's there for you. He says, "For Thou, Lord, alone." He's the one and only. And these things we're going to talk about today, they only apply to Him. They only apply to Him. No one else will do. There's no alternative. There's no comparisons. There's no close seconds. There's no substitute. Listen, guys. Can I tell you, in your life, there's some things that you need to get from God for yourself that money can't get for you. A great job can't get for you. a beautiful woman can't do for you. You've got to get it from God yourself. And listen, there has to be a passion and a hunger and a drive in your heart, like Jacob back in Genesis 32, where he says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He's saying, God, I'm not quitting till you give me what I need. That can happen for anybody in the room, but you got to have a passion. Hey guys, can I tell you something? We're passionate about stuff. We are, and that's fine. But many of us are not passionate about the right things. We turn on a video game, you guys, edge your seat. I'm not against video games, if they're good ones. We turn on a movie, dude, check this out. But we start preaching the Bible and you fall asleep. There's a problem with that. Listen, we turn on the ball game, and I love sports. But we turn on the ball game, we're all into that. But when it comes to God's Word, when is he going to be over? Are you saying that about the football game today? No. Hey, let's give God his proper place in our life, which should be number one. And by the way, if you can share at a ball game, you ought to be able to say amen in church. Amen to that. Pinpointed person. Listen, no alternatives, no comparisons. No one else will do except God in my life. The pinpointed person. Point number two, the positive production. All right, it says, for thou, Lord. What are the next, somebody in the back, tell me, what are the next two words after that? Got your Bible open? For thou, Lord, and then the next two words.
Are good.
Got to move west to the back. No, it's all right. It's all good. He says he's good. Guys, what are we talking about? God, you're pretty nice. Is that what it's saying? You're like, I'm not sure. What do you think he's saying, guys? When he says God is good, we even say that. God is good, man. What do we mean? A positive production is the point. Got an idea, George? He's thinking. Not sure. Edwin? I'm sorry?
He's positive.
Positive, okay. Good try.
He's helpful.
Helpful, helps us out.
I was going to say he's helpful.
Okay, good.
Respectful.
Okay. Positive production. Thou art good. By the way, guys, learn this. God is not good because he fits to someone else's standard of good. He is the standard of good. You hear that? He is the standard of good. God is good all the time, and everything God does is good. When God created the world, what did he say? It was good, right? God's not going to do something shabby. God's not going to do something slack. God's not going to do something you say, oh, it's nice, but it's not the best. When God does something, it's perfect. When God does something, it's always good. The positive production. He's not good because he fits to someone else's standard of good. He's good because he is the standard. He's always good. So, let me teach you this real quick. When it's talking about God is good, first of all, his dependable character. Guys, who he is good. You say like what? He's holy. That means he's separate from sin. The Bible talks about it in 1 John chapter 1. It says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. When it's talking about darkness, it's talking about wickedness and evil. In God, there's no evil, there's no wickedness, there's no sin, there's no taint of it whatsoever. In God, it's light, it's pure, it's holy, it's right. And in him is no darkness at all. He's holy, he's righteous, he's just. He punishes every sin. He's pure, he's true. Everything God says is true. He loves. He loves the world. He loves the world so much he sent his son to die for us. But can I tell you also, he hates sin. God's not okay with sin. He hates sin. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's merciful. He's gracious. He forgives. And guys, he does that. Listen, every single day. Isn't that amazing? That's the God that we serve. When you listen, you may have a day in your Christian life when you ain't feeling it and you don't pray, but can I tell you, every single day God's ready to hear your prayer. You never pray and God said, whoa, dude, not my day. Come back at a different time. I'm not really feeling it. I'm a little under the weather. You know, hit me back another time. That's not the God that we serve. Every single day, he's on his post. He's on his guard. He's doing what he said he would do all the time. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same, listen, yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. That's the God that we get to hold on to. Listen, and guys, that's a blessing to me. You know why that's a blessing to me, Edwin? Because I don't have to worry about waking up one day and I find out in the news, oh, God has changed. God is dead. God's not what he used to be. He used to answer prayers, but I'm sorry, he can't do that anymore. He had to downsize. He had to go in a different direction. I don't have to worry about that. Ethan, I never have to worry about waking up and finding out that the Bible's false. I know it's from God. I know it's true. I know every word of it is perfect. I don't have to worry about it. from now to the day I die, I can count on what God said. Why? Because He's true. He's truthful all the time. We serve a God that cannot lie. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said and shall He not do it? Hath He spoken, shall He not make it good? Whatever He's promised you in your life, if you follow His instructions, God will make it good. God's not going to promise you something and say, oh, well, couldn't really come through on that. He always comes through if we do our part. The dependable character. Guys, secondly, under that, the daily care. Not only who He is, and who He is good all the time. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience that for yourself. By the way, let me hit rewind real quick, real fast. Guys, I can throw out all those things. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's forgiving. He's lovely. Blah, 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 blah. You know where you can make that? And you can sit there and say, yeah, okay, I got it. He's good. Stop. You know how you can make that more meaningful to you? Have Him forgive you. Have Him be merciful to you. Have Him guide your life and change you and work on you from the inside out. Boy, I tell you, those aren't just a list that somebody rattles off and you say, yeah, yeah, cool, cool. I really like that. No, those things become life and death to you. And you say, man, that's vital for my life. Hey, guys, if God didn't forgive me, whew, I don't know where I'd be right now. If God wasn't merciful to me, I don't know where I'd be right now. If there weren't times in my life, Wes, that God didn't direct my steps and show me clearly, go this way, not that way, I don't know where I'd be right now. Probably in a jacked up situation or relationship. I tell you that. Listen, have those things be meaningful to you. All right, go back, fast forward. The daily care, what He does for us. Hey, guys, can I tell you, listen. Everything God does for us, it's a gift from Him. Hey, guys, time out. Pay attention, Emerson. I love Emerson, but I want you guys to pay attention. This is important. Listen, guys, if we're talking about LeBron or some athlete or Tom Brady, and we have a big screen up here, I don't think anybody's going to be like this. I'm not busting on him. But if we're talking about God, give Him your best attention. I know there's not graphics and a huge screen TV. I get that. But when we're talking about God, it supersedes all that other stuff. Those guys will have that talent for a certain amount of time, and then there'll be old men one day that can't do it. Our God has all this and He'll never change. He'll always be powerful. He'll always be good. He'll always have all these things that He is. The daily care, what He does for us. Hey guys, tell me, let's time out real quick. Tell me some of the things that God does for us. Just think. Get your brain working. What are some of the things God does for us? George.
When He made His Son die on the cross.
Absolutely. One of the biggest things ever, right? Wakes us up every morning, 5:30, or thereabouts. Give us life. Yeah. What else can you guys think of? Good stuff. Keep thinking.
Protection.
That's a big one. That's a huge one.
Food.
Amen. All right. Who likes food? Some of you guys are too tired. Wake up. You like food. All right. You're just too tired to think about it. Right now. Guys, can I tell you all those things God gave to you? And think about this. He didn't have to. We take them like it's our right. Yeah, we take it like we deserve it. We don't deserve it. But God, out of His goodness, does it for us. The Bible says, for Thou, Lord, art good. Let me throw some things at you. You guys mentioned some good ones. Who's happy they're breathing today? Well, do we ever think of that? Listen, guys, just, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. I got up. Ethan, I was already kind of thinking of this message. I got up. Walked downstairs, got myself some food, started eating, and I thought, you know what? Already today, I've walked, I've talked, I've thought a little bit, tired, all right? I was able to see, able to hear. I was able to have enough coordination in my body to get that cereal in that bowl and the milk at the proper time. You know what I'm talking about? And be able to scoop it out and put it in my mouth without spilling it too much. You know what I'm saying? I'm just playing. Guys, do you know what? God gave me all those things. But how often, guys, do we walk through life and we just think we deserve it? Guys, you are able to walk in that class today. This class today. Do you ever thank God that you're able to walk? We don't think of those things a lot of time. Well, I deserve this. Who says? Who says? Who says that you couldn't be one of those premature babies that never formed correctly? Never developed right? Listen, and God can help them, but if God bless you, thank Him for it. Guys, can I tell you? Many young people, many teenagers, we are never thankful. You should be thankful to your parents. You should be thankful to your teachers. You should be thankful for people that do stuff for you. Guys, get this. I haven't said this in a long time in class, but it needs to be said. Nobody has to do anything for you. But we act like they do. You have to be nice to me. Oh, really? You want to test that? Listen, you have to do that for me. Nobody has to do anything for you. But if they do something for you, be grateful. Be thankful. Guys, you were able to breathe this morning. What if you woke up in the middle of the night and you couldn't breathe? Some people have that problem. Man, you're able to breathe. You have air. I'm thankful for that. Health. You don't have cancer right now. You're not over in Children's Hospital in Washington, D.C. You don't have these problems. Listen, you're not on your deathbed. You're alive. You're healthy. You have life. You have the sun. I don't know about you. I was glad when I walked out of the house today that the sun was up there. That I wasn't freezing to death. And I'm not talking about when it's like 20 degrees outside, guys. I'm talking about if there was no sun, we would all freeze to death. The whole planet would be encrusted in ice. Whew, I don't even like thinking about that. All right? 20 degrees is enough for me. You like that? No, I'm just kidding. Everybody throw snowballs at him when it's snow time. No, just kidding. When it's winter. Listen, I'm glad for that there's air and health and life and the sun. We get to see. Hey, guys, you ever open your eyes and you can see and you say, Lord, thank you for that. We don't. I don't many times. Listen, these are simple things, but God does these things for us, but we're not grateful for them. He is good, and He's good every day. Can you imagine, and I'll hurry up with this, but can you imagine, guys, if God only allowed us to keep having these abilities if we thank Him for it? You think about that? Everybody paying attention? If we had to keep thanking God every day for this just to continue to be able to see and hear and talk and walk and think and all these kind of things that we can do, I wonder how many of us would still have those abilities. You know what I mean? I'm thankful God doesn't work that way. And say, you didn't thank me. Oh, you can't see. Oh, man. Can you help me out here? No. We don't have to worry about that. God's good to us every single day. But thank Him for it. Guys, thank Him for it. He's been good to you. But many of us walk around with a chip on our shoulder and got an attitude with everybody like they owe us the world when we're a jerk to them. No, they don't. Be thankful. Somebody does something for you, thank you. I've had teenagers, you buy pizza for them. That's it. We take them on a trip. That was pretty boring. I didn't have to take you nowhere. I could have left your butt at home. You know what I'm saying? Listen, you could have been doing nothing. But somebody does something for you, wears himself out, and over there, I didn't really like it. Well, good for you. Maybe I didn't really like it. Listen, we need to have a proper attitude, though. Appreciate what people do for you. Appreciate what God has done for you. Guys, you get to walk. You get to talk. You get to think. Some of you guys play sports. That's amazing. You get to eat. You get to drink. You get to taste it. When I was sick a month ago, took away my taste. You know how awful that is? Guys, the stuff that you like, you can't taste it anymore. You're like, oh, man, I love this kind of drink. What is that? You can't taste it right. It messed it up for a while. It took me a couple of weeks to get some of that stuff back. Some of the stuff that I used to love, I was telling my wife, can you taste this, see if it's all right? I didn't know if it went bad over the weeks, Tim, or if I just still wasn't tasting right. Stuff that I like, stuff that's my favorite stuff. Can you taste it? Cheese. Tastes fine to me. Huh?
Cheese.
Of course not. This is a Christian class, bless God. No, okay. Listen, that'll never taste right to me. Some things never change. Like God! No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I'm messing with Tim. Listen, some of those things didn't taste right. Aren't you glad you can taste it? Mm-hmm. Whatever your favorite food is, if you can taste it right, be like, Lord, thank you for that. Because a couple weeks ago, I couldn't do that. Right? I was glad I could still eat, but it just didn't taste the same. Guys, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God to you. Mm-hmm. Be thankful for it. How about this verse? This is Psalm 42:5. It says, He giveth breath unto the people upon it, talking about the earth, and spirit to them that walk therein. He makes you alive and He gives you breath. It says that God maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. I mean, God's good to everybody, whether they love Him or hate Him. Isn't that crazy? I mean, God could say, you don't love me, you don't go to church, no sun for you today. It's so cold. And God doesn't do that. He's still good to them. He still takes care of them. He's merciful. It says he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Guys, get that. He is kind. God is kind. Gracious. He does good things for them. To the unthankful. They can go their whole life left and never thank him for it. And take it to the next step. To the evil. To the people that not only do wickedly, but they take other people down with them. God says, I'm still kind to them. And then he says, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Hey guys, are we treating bad people with mercy? Whew, that hits home. That's hard to swallow. Hey guys, listen, his dependable character, he is who he is, and it's always good. And how he takes care of us every single day. Hey guys, let me ask you something. Have you thanked him for it? If you're a Christian, you have a Bible, time out. You're saved. If you're a Christian, you're saved. If there's ever been a time you called on Jesus' name and you meant it in your heart, you're saved. You should be thankful for that. Have you thanked him that you're saved? Well, I don't know if that's such a big deal. Okay, check out verse number 13. Have your Bible open? Verse number 13, Psalm 86, 13. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest, what is that?
Hell.
That's where we deserve to go. That's where I should have been if not for Jesus dying on the cross for me. Guys, if you're saved, you have something to thank him for. You got a bunch of stuff to thank him for. But no greater thing than when he saved your soul from going to the lowest hell. Thank God for that. He saved you. You have a Bible. You can pray to him anytime with whatever you're going through. He'll listen. And guys, many of you have a godly family that loves you. Thank God for that. Guys, have you thanked him for it? The deep consideration, have you thanked him for it? David said in Psalm 8, he said, when I consider the heavens, thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Get this. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You know what he's saying? He's saying, Ethan, I look up, I see all the great things God has made. We talked about the stars earlier. 100 billion plus. I love watching the stars. That's that is my favorite sight in nature. Seeing the stars on a dark night. Man, that's amazing. I love seeing that. He says, I see the sun and the moon and the stars and the work of your hands. God put those up there. Nobody else. He's saying, I see all that. It's how vast and how broad and how big and how grand it is. And then he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know what he's saying? Get this. So God, if you're that huge and that amazing, why do you care about me? Why do you love me? Guys, that should blow us away. If you pray and God answers your prayer, that should humble you and say, wow, God, thank you for knowing that for me. You don't have to do that. God, you taught me something in the Bible today. You didn't have to do that. But thank you, God. Thank you. He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? Point number 3, he's present to pardon. God is open for business today, young man. The pinpointed person, we're only talking about the Lord today. We're not bringing up anybody else. The positive production. He is good. In who he is, in what he does. Have you thanked him for it? And point number 3, he's present to pardon. Guys, check out the verse again, once again, if you would. For thou, Lord, art good and what? Somebody tell me. Ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. Listen, if you're in here and you can think back in your mind and you've done some wrong things, some wicked things, some wayward things, some things that you were off track and you know you did wrong. Guys, you better come to God today. He's ready to forgive. He's not going to put you off. He's not going to say, I'll get around to it when I feel like it. He says, I'm ready. Bring it on. Hey, listen. He is ready for you to come to him, repent of your sins, and he will forgive you. That's the God that we serve. Listen, my friend and I were talking a couple days ago. People in false religions, they'll do all these crazy things to try to get God to forgive them. They'll lash their body. They'll walk on their knees on glass up these stairs to hopefully get their God to forgive them. That won't do anything for their false God. Listen, all we have to do is go to God and mean business. When we do that, he says, I'm ready to forgive you. And by the way, that's not just the elite Christians, the super, that's everybody. He says, I'm ready to forgive you. He's present to pardon. I'm ready to forgive. Guys, this may sound weird. What does it mean to be ready? I was thinking about this last night. What does it mean to be ready?
Prepared.
Good. Anybody else? What does it mean to be ready? Are you ready yet?
Like having a plan, thinking ahead of time.
Okay. Being on it, right? I'm ready to go. I'm on the edge of my seat. I learned some of these things last night. Ready to means to be immediately available. Right there when you need it. Prepared for immediate action. How about this one? He's willing. He's willing. I'll explain that in a moment. And he's quick to respond. Quick to respond. Hey guys, God is not, when you pray, it says he's willing. That doesn't mean God, you pray and say, God, please forgive me. And God says, is that you again, Tom? How many times do you want me to forgive you? Are you kidding me? You messed up again? Didn't you mess up earlier today? Yes. No, you're not getting forgiven today. Come back some other time. Why don't you suffer a little bit? Why don't you feel guilty for a while? Then maybe you'll get the picture. Dun, dun, dun. No, God says, I'm ready to forgive. Hey guys, you know what that means? He wants to forgive you. If you're off track, he wants to help you get back on track. If you're not the young man that you need to be, he wants to help you. God's saying, come on, bring it. Bring it at me. I will help you. I will turn you into the man that I want you to be. He's ready. That means he's available, guys. He says, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, come on. Come on. You need help. You're struggling in an area. Bring it on. What's your problem? What's your burden? What's weighing you down? Bring it to me. David says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. And get this, my cry came before him, even into his ears. Guys, he's listening. It doesn't get lost on his secretary's desk. God's saying, I hear what you're saying. I'm ready. I'm available. And guys, I already explained this, but his attitude. What is God's attitude when you pray? The Bible says he cares for you. He's not up there reluctant saying, Edwin, I'll forgive you this once, but never again. This is it. Last time. I don't have to worry about that. By the way, you got to mean business. I'm not saying you sin as much as you want. Say, oh, by the way, God, forgive me for all those. Okay, thanks. I'm going to keep on sinning. Mm-mm. That is not the heartbeat of a real Christian. That's not the mindset of a real Christian. If you sin as a Christian, it's something you don't want to do, but you messed up. You say, God, I'm sorry. That's the way a real Christian should be. He's ready. His attitude is he cares for you. He said you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Guys, when we pray, we don't have to have our head down and be ashamed. Say, God, I know you don't want to see me right now. I know you don't want to hear me, but you told me to pray. So God says, you can come with confidence. What do you need? You're my child. You belong to me. I love you. I want to help you. His attitude, his action. He says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Guys, aren't you glad when you pray and ask for forgiveness, he doesn't say, all right, 30-day trial. You're on parole. Let's see how you do now. Then maybe I'll forgive you. Maybe. Hang it over your head. He says, when you pray and you mean business, right then and there, bam, I forgive you and I cleanse you from all of that unrighteousness. And guys, you have assurance. He's quick to respond. You have that assurance. The Bible says our sins and iniquities, he will remember no more. Guys, he forgives it and he forgets it and you can move on and keep living for God. Guys, if God wasn't that kind of God, none of the heroes in the Bible would have made it as far as they did. Paul killed Christians. Peter denied the Lord. All these great heroes of the faith, they messed up, they fell down. But we serve a God that's forgiving and he's ready to forgive. What does it mean to forgive? It means he'll release you from the guilt and the shame. Guys, forgive means to free you from your debt, to clear the account. Ethan owes me something?
Yeah, he does.
No, if he owed me something, I say, hey, take care of it. Don't worry about it. You mean I don't have to work hard to pay that back? I mean, that was a lot of money. I know. It's fine. You're forgiven. It means no more debt. The account has been cleared. It's nothing there. It's zero now. It used to be negative. Now it's zero. Man, thank God for that. It means to clear the account. And by the way, guys, God, listen to this statement. And I'll move on. God is ready to forgive if you are ready to repent. Mm-hmm. Repent means to turn away from your sin. If you mean business, God will mean business with you. If you turn away from your sin and you're trying your best not to do that sin again, God says, all right, I am ready to forgive you and to help you and to change your life. Point number four, he has plenteous pity. At the end of the verse number five. And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. It's plenteous. That means abundant. It's overflowing. It says he's plenteous in mercy, guys. Mercy is his withholding punishment. It's him being lenient on us. It says to all them that call upon him. Are you calling? Are you calling? Hey, guys, this means he has an abundant supply of mercy for you. I think God has mercy for every single person in the world. But when you go against him, in Jonah, it says they forsake their own mercy. God has mercy waiting for you to forgive you, to help you, to get you back where you need to be. But when you observe lying vanities, like the Bible says, go after fake solutions and go after false gods, you forsake your own mercy from God. Man, don't do that. He's got abundant mercy unto all that call upon him. That's waiting for you, young man. That's waiting for me. My question is this: are you calling? Listen, our God, again, is not restricted. He's not on shutdown. He's not on vacation. The government hasn't reduced his capacity. Our God is open for business. Listen, if you're in here and you're weak and you say, I don't know how much farther I can go, get strength from God. Go to him. He's got mercy to help you out. Overflowing, abundant, plenteous mercy to help you out. Young man, if you're in sin, listen, you say, like, what kind of sin? Like cussing, like looking at girls the way you shouldn't be, like listening to garbage music that you know you has no business going into your ears and into your brain, and living horribly, clicking on things and watching stuff and messing around on your phone and on the internet and looking at stuff. That's living in sin. Can I tell you God's ready to forgive you, though? He is ready to forgive you. Are you ready to repent? Are you ready to turn your back on that garbage? If you are, God says, bring it on. I'll cleanse it. I'll forgive you. I'll give you a new life in me. And guys, maybe you need, you have a need. You're struggling like David. You're poor and you're needy. You say, God, I need your help. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. Our God is a God that's good all the time. And he's ready to help you. And he's ready to come through for you. Our God is open for business. Guys, are you going to go to him? Are you going to get the help you need? Listen, nobody in this room has the strength to live the Christian life perfectly in themselves, in and of ourselves. But our God has enough strength for everyone in the room, listening, everyone in the room to make it as a Christian. And to not just survive, but to thrive and to succeed and have a great life. God has that waiting for you, but you got to go to him. Our God is open for business. Let's bow.